Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest is comedian and host of the Do Go On podcast, it's Jess Perkins.
Oh, hello. I thought for a second you were talking about yourself.
Oh, okay, yeah. To be
honest. So I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, I guess in some ways I'm also the host of that show.
Yeah.
Our second guest is comedian and host of SBS's Good Tucker, it's Saran Jayamana.
Hello.
Good Tucker.
Is that how you answer the phone? I like it.
Yeah, hello. It is actually.
Oh, hello.
Always surprised.
And our third guest is a first-timer on the show and has the record for most guest appearances on Spicks and Specs. He was also the bass player for the jangle pop group Captain Coco and the second comedian I ever saw live. It's comedy legend Dave O'Neill.
Oh. Whoa. Yeah, because you came to the Hi-Fi Bar, didn't you?
Yeah.
Somewhere? Wow.
The Unfit for Life
show.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great show by memory? I can't remember.
The thing I remember most...
I showed videos.
I don't. I played the bass. I'm most. Yes. And you came out with a rose between your teeth.
And sang Air Supply.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my peak. And do you remember who was on before me and who was on after me?
I only think I learnt this later, but they were big acts, weren't they?
Mighty Boosh and Johnny Vegas.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Whatever happened to them?
In the sandwich.
I used to hang out with those guys. It was so funny.
All right, so the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question, and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. The first question comes from a guy called Lars van Kuverden from Utrecht in the Netherlands.
Ooh.
And his question is, any of you Tolkien fans?
My wife and kids are, but I've seen the movies.
Yeah, if you happen to know the answer for any question, just play it like you don't.
Okay.
And just still send in a fake answer or whatever. Anyway, question is, in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth universe, what does Mathem mean? What does Mathem mean?
Mathem.
So, I mean, yeah, I've read the books, but not that much of a fan.
No. I speak it fluently. While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get a point if your fake answer is guessed by another contestant, another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house, which is why the contestants get triple points in the final round. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters, and if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via Patreon.
All of them. Wow.
Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod, which is linked in the show notes.
So he's really listening in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, he didn't make that up.
Well, enjoy some drop today, maybe. That's Dutch licorice, I expect everyone to know. Salty licorice. Enjoy some drop.
All right.
Are all the questions in?
All of the answers are in here. Here is question number one. In J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth universe, what does Mathem mean? A naturally occurring stone found in the mountains, often used to make jewelry. A term to address respected elderly women, used by the Balrogs, a demonic species who speak with a lisp. Objects that a hobbit was gifted and has no use for, but is unwilling to throw away.
Oh, yeah, they do hoard a bit.
Like, it's like the hobbit version of bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yes. Then you've got it's Middle Earth's equivalent of meth. For example, Dildo Baggins was known... Dildo Baggins Dildo was Baggins. A known mathematic. Is it Dildo Baggins?
No, it's Bilbo. No.
Okay. I feel I'm like I feel even like I would have noted.
Yeah,
no, I would have heard Bilbo about Baggins. That.
That's just an example.
That's just an example.
Well, his uncle.
That could be Bilbo. Yeah, Bilbo's uncle.
They don't talk about him. He's a bit dodgy.
Uncle Dildo.
Uncle Dildo.
A despised relative that is befriended in the hopes of getting a part of the inheritance, or thinking about maths. Math.
That's a hobbit term.
Yeah. So you've got naturally occurring stone, a term for to address respected elderly women, a gift that has no use but they keep anyway. The Dildo Baggins is a mathematic. A despised relative that is befriended in the hopes of getting part of the inheritance, or thinking about maths. Math.
But only in Middle Earth.
Yeah, it's in Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Middle Earth maths. What do you think, Jess?
They're all very good, can I just say? Obviously leading towards Dildo Baggins.
Yes.
I think I'm torn between the first one, like a precious stone, or like stuff you don't need.
The bric-a-brac.
Bric-a-brac.
Bric-a-brac. Kind of
thing. I think I'm going to go with stuff you don't need or whatever, however it was worded.
Bric-a-brac.
Bric-a-brac.
It's funny that the real human word is stupider than the hobbit word.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone's got a junk drawer, you know? Even true. Hobbits.
Third draw down.
Third draw down.
That was a Jim Owen bit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
A song, maybe?
Song, that is a song, yeah. I'll say the stone.
Stone? All right. Stone. Looking that in for Dave. What do you think, Soren?
Was that precious gemstone or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the bric-a-brac as well.
Bric-a-brac?
Yeah.
All right. Looking at the interest around. Here's who wrote the answers. Thinking about maths. Math. That was Dave.
Yeah.
Despised relative. It's befriended in the hopes of getting the inheritance. That was Lars, aka the house. The house also wrote the one about the demons with a lisp.
That was pretty fun.
Is it like,
that's a good one.
Hello, Matham. Like, madam.
Oh, yeah, Matham.
That is good.
Excuse me, Matham. It doesn't quite work because you don't lisp a D, do you? Anyway, then we got Dildo Baggins. That was Seren.
You don't say.
Was that?
Huh. Yes, I've read the books. I know there's no Dildo Baggins.
Naturally occurring stone, which Dave went for. That was Jess Perkins.
Oh, that sounded real.
Yeah.
That was clever.
Jess also said she was considering
a little
fake
out by Jess.
Yeah, wow.
To me, that felt...
It's like a poker.
Sneaky.
That was right on the edge of...
It's a poker playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means that Jess and Serena are correct. The bric-a-brac one.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Matham.
Matham.
I mean, you're right. It sounds silly, but so does bric-a-brac. Mm. So, fair enough.
So that means that Jess gets 2 points and Seren gets a point as well. So, you and me, Dave, off to a rough start.
Zero. It's all right. We come back.
That's I've maxed out at sneakiness too, by the way.
You can't. It's hard to use that.
That could be the sneakiest thing you do.
Yeah.
The double snake.
Yeah, we'll know next time.
Question two comes from Jason Westner from Chester Springs in Pennsylvania. And jeez. The question is, which one of these is a real species of bird?
Ooh.
So you just got to come up with a made up, probably a little bit silly sounding bird species. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info on Mathems. Lars writes, most hobbit dwellings are crowded with Mathems. Mathems are often re-gifted and might end up with the original owner or in a Matham house, which is basically a museum. Most weapons are considered Mathems, since only an insane hobbit would use them on an adventure.
There is a lot of clutter if you think back to those movies. There's a lot
of clutter, a lot of
Mathems. They've actually just opened up Hobbit Town. You can go inside they've set them all up, and you can go in and have a tour.
Whereabouts?
In Wellington.
Ah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Hobbit Town. Because you're saying your family's big fans?
Yeah, I went to New Zealand for I was still on radio and I went to the screening of the last movie in Wellington, and my wife came and we had a baby. She he came as well, and my mother-in-law. The radio station didn't pay for all these people. They just paid for me. Anyway, we went. We had a great time because there was no... It was before mobile phones. It was that long ago. Mobile phones weren't really big, and so they could... You'd just be down, like, in Wellington, you'd see, oh, my God, there's Gandalf walking around, and there's, you know, Vigo and no, mobile phones were around because I was interviewing one of the hobbits in the hotel room, and it's a very casual hotel. And then Liv Tyler?
Yep.
She comes out. She goes... oh, there's some fans downstairs. I said, yeah, there's about four of them. She goes, should I go down? I'm like, yeah, why not go down? They'd love to see you. So she goes down. Then I interview this guy and I come out and some security guy goes, yeah, there's an issue downstairs. 200 people have turned up. Liv Tyler's been mobbed. I advise her to go down there. So,
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, get down there.
She died that day.
It'll be nice.
I've never seen again.
Anyway.
All right, so here is question two. Which of these are real species of bird? The Canadian shrew job, the Atticus finch.
Oh, wow.
Golden thwack.
Ooh.
Rough-faced shag. Pimple-bellied plum sucker.
Oh, my God.
Or maroon-headed tit.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. I'm lost in those.
Yeah.
Can we have them once again, please?
Sure. Canadian shrew job, the Atticus finch, golden thwack. Rough faced shag, pimple bellied plum sucker, or maroon headed tit?
Oh,
I think it's your go here first, Dave.
Oh, rough faced shag. Okay, right. Because it's so ridiculous, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What do you think, sir?
I reckon you think, like, they could have had a naming competition or something like that and then come up with Atticus Finch.
Yeah.
It's a great name, isn't it?
Yep.
Atticus.
Could be that, or it could be, I kind of am leaning towards the brown headed tit or whatever.
Maroon-headed tit.
Because there are tippers.
Yeah, there are, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with maroon-headed tit.
Maroon-headed tit for Saran. All right, that leaves you, Jess.
Well, I was going to go for Atticus Finch, but now I'm not sure if Saran's doing what I just did.
He's pulling the Jess, you reckon?
Which is a fantastic move.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Atticus Finch. I don't even necessarily think it's true, but I want it to be true because it is such a great name.
A good name.
Atticus is a great character. Gregory Peck. Oh, my God.
Atticus Finch is the lawyer.
Yes. Atticus.
And that movie's about a bird as well, isn't it?
A mockingbird.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Jason, aka The House, wrote both The Pimple-Bellied Plum Sucker and The Canadian Shrew Job,
which is a
deep cut pun on... A wrestling controversy from the 90s called the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
Some fine work from Jason.
Did you know that?
I knew it because I did a report on it on Do Go On.
Oh, there you go. That's what he's done. He's heard you talk about it. Right.
That's clever.
Golden thwack. That was Dave.
That's good, Dave.
Are you picturing that's the noise it would make? That's its unique call.
When it hits a window.
Flies into it. Yeah.
Thwack. The golden thwack. Love the golden thwack.
The golden thwack's fantastic. The Atticus Finch. That was Saran.
Yeah.
Ah, you pinned him.
That's really good. It's good stuff.
I didn't know that I had to do it. You would have just picked it anyway. I wouldn't have wasted it.
You
almost hurt yourself.
I wasted my
it.
One sneakiness.
Oh, no.
The maroon or maroon-headed tit, which Saran went for, was Jess. So she got you right back there. And that means Dave is right. It's a rough-faced shag.
Oh, wow.
Got one right.
So point to Jess, point to Dave, point to Saran. Question three comes from Connor Schmidt from Perth, Western Australia. Connor's actually the editor of this show. And
that feels like nepotism to me.
Is it? Is that what it is? He's
or
also,
cronyism, I guess.
Yeah, he's also my uncle. He's also my son.
Connor.
Connor's question is, what tradition does Major League Baseball team the Milwaukee Brewers hold after the top of the sixth inning of every home game? They have a tradition. Get the crowd going.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay, yep.
Can you say the question one more time?
What tradition does Major League Baseball team the Milwaukee Brewers hold after the top of the sixth inning of every home game?
They get the crowd going.
Yeah. Some to get them involved.
Reminds me of the time that I was asked to go on at halftime of the football. I got a request from via my management, dress as a giant credit card and lead the crowd in Mambo number 5.
Is that true?
Yeah. I almost did it just to turn up and get dressed in a giant credit card. I still remember it was an Essendon Collingwood game. Could you imagine?
That would have been a huge crowd as well. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. All right, everyone, we're going to the Mambo number 5. All those plastic bottles being thrown at my head. One, two... loved it.
That's so funny.
3, 4, 5. I love that song.
I can tell you quickly about the rough-faced shag. It's actually a New Zealand bird.
Oh!
Okay, it's also known as the New Zealand king shag, or the kowhao.
Oh, wow. They've got some good birds over there. When I went to the zoo and saw a kiwi.
Oh, yeah, they're cool looking. Yeah. They look like they're cartoon characters.
Just looking at the other animals.
Or... Yeah.
would have seen a few.
Oh, yeah. they're nocturnal, though, so it was all dark in his cage.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize they were nocturnal.
Maybe I'm making that up. It was a long time ago.
Oh, man, I don't know anything about them.
Birds.
So I don't know why I would be surprised.
Challenging.
Yeah. I probably thought I saw a dodo, but I know they're extinct. But, yeah.
I get those two confused. They're about similar, right? Big, chunky.
Oh, cute dodos.
Right, the answers are in for question number 3. What tradition does Major League Baseball team the Milwaukee Brewers hold at every home game? The visiting team's head coach is goaded into competing in a short home run derby with the Brewers' main mascot, Bernie Brewer.
Oh.
They get the crowd to do the Macarena.
Front.
Milli Vanilli head out onto the diamond to mime to their hit, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You.
Jeez. bleak.
A race between 5 mascots shaped as various anthropomorphic sausage varieties. 2 people are picked from the crowd to have a running race against the team mascot.
Oh.
Or they pick which brewer then brewer's yeast will be harvested to make that week's batch of Milwaukee's equivalent of Vegemite known as Walkie-mite.
Wow.
So, you know, the Carlton United breweries,
they
use their yeast to make Vegemite. Yeah. So
yep. Possible.
Obviously, Milwaukee's got Walkie-mite. And they've brought that into the home games.
Yeah, makes sense.
Fun. Each week it's a different recipe.
So there's 2 different race-related ones there.
Yeah, one was
sausages.
I worded
that poorly. I mean like a running race.
Yes. So you got the... I love how every home game, the visiting head team's head coach is goaded into competing.
Yeah.
They must know it's coming.
Surely. It happens all the time.
Then you got the Macarena, Milli Vanilli miming, the sausage race, or the just random people from the crowd racing the mascot, or the brewer's yeast being chosen for Walkie-mite.
Okay.
Your go, Saran. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually races at these things, I think. It is the most boring option, though. And I feel like the reason they're submitting the question is because it must be something interesting.
Bit weird.
Anthropomorphic sausages in a race?
Yeah, so that's like just...
I don't know what that means.
That means it's like sausages with faces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that one.
You really came the long way around there.
I can picture it.
All right.
I also think it's sausage race.
Sausage race for Jess. What do you think, Dave?
I'll go the yeast. Yeah, I don't know. It's I thought it might be the mascot race, but that's just too normal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Sausages?
No, the other one.
The other one.
Yep.
I'll go the yeast. Why not?
All right, here's who wrote the answers. getting goaded into racing against the mascot, that was Connor, aka The House.
Mm-hmm.
The Macarena, just a one-word answer, that was Dave.
Yeah. It was quick.
Milli Vanilli, miming, that was The House. 2 people being picked from the crowd to have a running race, that was Jess Perkins.
Yeah, pretty boring.
Walkie-mite, that was Saran.
Oh,
they went for that.
Fell for that.
Meaning the sausage race was correct.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Every game, big sausage race. So Jess, 1 point. Saran, 2 points that round.
Well done.
So after 3 rounds, we've got The House still yet to score. Dave on 1 point, but out in front on 4 points apiece, it's Jess and Saran.
Oh.
Wow. There we go.
Here's question number 4. Comes from Sean from Sky in Victoria. What was a real Canadian headline on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's news website on the 17th of April 2017.
Okay, just a news headline.
News headlines in Canada.
Yeah.
17th of April 2017, while you're writing your answers. Here's a little more info on the sausage race. According to Connor, having been around since the 90s, this has endured for so long due to Wisconsinites' love for a bloody good grill-up. Fans will famously arrive hours before games to tailgate in the ballpark's car park to char up some brats and punch down a couple of cold ones. When I got into baseball a few years back and was looking for a team to follow, I saw one sausage race live while watching a Brewers game. The fact that this ridiculous event was so beloved by fans was genuinely one of the main factors that swayed me into joining the Brew Crew. Bonus fact, the chorizo sausage mascot definitely isn't racist. Don't even bother looking it up because it definitely isn't a racist stereotype or anything. Okay, a bit defensive there.
So it's Spanish or Mexican.
Yeah, might
be. Got a sombrero on, yeah. I reckon.
Jeez, that wouldn't be great for a race, a sombrero. That'd be like the least. Yeah, annoying. Very drag heavy.
Mm.
He also says FTC, which I don't know what that means. But anyway, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
All right, and we're back. So here's question number four. What was the real news headline in Canada on the 17th of April, 2017? Ranchers stunned as beaver herds 150 cattle.
Wow.
Moose gets voted in as mayor.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
Crisis in Calgary as calisthenics catastrophe causes critical casualties.
Oh, my God. That.
That's great.
Wow.
Multi-car accident on highway. All drivers apologize to each other.
That's funny.
Body found in boot about 5 p.m. when car flips at roundabout. Turns out to be a bootlicker. Round a boot. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, cool.
Let me have another go at that. Body found in boot, a boot, 5 p.m. when car flips at round a boot. Turns out to be bootlicker.
Round a boot. I'm going out in a boot. I get it. Go on. Yes.
Or Mountie uncovers drug bounty in Alberta County.
Oh, that's cool. Man.
Great stuff.
All of those. Like when the sub editors coming up with them, they're high fiving each other for that, I reckon.
I think we all got the task here. We understood the job. So back to you, Jess.
Can I have them again, please?
Ranchers stunned as beaver herds 150 cattle.
Yep, that is appealing.
Moose gets voted in as mayor.
So is that.
Crisis in Calgary as calisthenics catastrophe causes critical casualties.
Ooh.
Multi-car accident on highway. All drivers apologize to each other. Body found in a boot 5 p.m. when car flips at round a boot, turns out to be bootlicker. Or Mountie uncovers drug bounty in Alberta County.
I'm going to go with the beaver one.
Beaver, yep.
I think maybe they have surprisingly good herding instincts.
Well, yeah.
I think they're descendant of border collies.
Aren't they the ones who... And they sort of herd timber and stuff?
Yeah.
They're the same.
They've got a good eye for it.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm a big beaver fan.
I love watching them. They're good. I'll go the Mountie one.
Yep.
I only think because calisthenics is Australian.
Right.
I think it's an Australian invention.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm very proud of that then.
Pretty sure it is.
I love anything we invent.
It is, and it's. Have you seen it? I've done gigs with them. It's a bit weird.
Yeah,
sport. There's streamers and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Marching stuff.
It's got a gymnastic element to it, but a dance element to it.
Oh, you would have seen it growing up too. Yeah, out in the burbs.
My sister-in-law did it into her 20s.
Oh, wow. Alarming
to the point where people are like, "Are we sure we?"
The point was like, "Is there an age group for you? There's enough of you to okay."
She's like, "This 22. Is our heritage.
Yeah, shouldn't you be a leader now, coach?"
She's in seniors.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yep.
Like golden.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother's like, still doing the concerts, huh? Okay. Yeah, no, of course I'll be there. Absolutely.
Cool.
All right. I think that just leaves you, Saran.
I've had that exact conversation with my brother about my comedy career.
Oh, still doing that. Really? You're not going back to accounting? Okay, yeah.
Are you an accountant, Saran?
I am.
Oh, my God.
I'm the grammar school guy.
Yeah, that's up with buddy Naz and...
Limo.
There is a bit of a thing. Then we hit Limo and it drops off the... Yeah.
The theme there.
Yeah, that's wow.
That is...
There's a few accountants in comedy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That is one of the...
Hughesy did accountancy too for...
Did he?
One year.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You were teaching, is that
right? Yeah, and public relations.
Which is another big...
At RMIT.
Ah.
Yeah, a lot of teachers, heaps of teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damien Cullinan maybe?
Glenn Robbins, Denise Scott, Tahir, Paul Collegia.
Ben Knight now.
Ben Knight. Yep. Yeah, heaps of teachers.
Yeah, wow.
So, makes some sense.
Yeah.
I was air conditioning sales. Yeah. I think I'm a smaller group.
Makes sense.
Seren.
He knows a lot about an aircon.
We need
every
AC.
We need AC. I reckon that there was a guy whose surname was Moose, or a lady, and they were trying to be clever, and they're like, Moose
good.
Elected as mayor. So I'm going to go with the Moose.
Wow. Seren, that's so clever.
Locking that in.
That's
for
why
Seren.
You're an accountant. And I did arts.
Yeah, arts.
And only just got in.
Arts. Yeah, I did arts too.
Yeah.
This is, I think you were saying your kids doing arts. So I think podcasting is in their future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arch. That or waiting. Yeah. As a waiter.
Here's who wrote the answers. Crossing Calgary as calisthenics catastrophe causes critical casualties. That was Sean, aka the house. And Sean is from Frankston. So
very good.
That adds up with, if that is an Australian thing. Mm. The one that I butchered, so sorry, Seren, about the roundabout and the bootlicker.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That was Seren. I wonder if they have boots over there or their trunks.
Probably.
Oh, maybe.
But I don't.
To avoid confusion.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Although Canada gets a lot of English terms.
Mm.
Mounty Alden covers drug bounty in Alberta County. Dave went for that. That was the house.
Oh, that's right. A good one. I love
He's
that.
Good.
I get, whenever one of these questions comes up, I get rhymezone.com out and see what I can come up with. Moose gets voted in as mayor. Seren went for that. That was Dave.
Yeah. Oh,
see,
well
I'm
done.
Not smart enough to the alliteration. It's like, oh.
And that means, oh, sorry, multi-car accident on the highway. All drivers apologize to each other. It was Jess Perkins.
Funny.
I love it. Yeah, they're reporting on it. But in Canada news, they'd be like, you know, as
That's
they
norm.
Always do.
Yeah, you're right.
But that means Jess is correct. Ranchers stunned as beaver herds 150
yes.
cattle.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It paints a beautiful picture.
What a powerful beaver, though, to just get out of his water and just, wow.
So, point to Dave, point to Jess, and a point to the house. The house is finally on the board.
Oh, about time.
So after four rounds, we got the house on 1 point, Dave on 2 points, Seren on 4 points, but out in front on 5 points is Jess Perkins.
Ooh.
Here's question number five, comes from Kate Isles from Canberra in the Australian Capital Territory. The question is, which of these is a real car? So just give a make and model of a kind of obscure car.
Sure.
Like a pretty mainstream make.
It's like a Ford Laser.
Yeah, kind of like a Ford Laser, only it's, you know, slightly sillier than that, I guess. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about the herding beaver. This is from that CBC News article. Saskatchewan rancher Adrian Ivey may have heard of a beaver, but until now had never seen a beaver herd. Cattle, that is. Oh, my God. What an opening paragraph. I haven't read this yet, so I was just as delighted as you are, dear listener. On Friday, Ivy and her husband were surprised to see 150 of their heifers crowded together in one of their pastures. Curious about the strange behaviour, they investigated further to find the herd of cattle following a beaver that had wandered along. He was out and about, I guess he would have said. He was out and about,
yes.
I think, looking for a place to build a beaver lodge. And they were following him, Ivy said. There was about to be 3 foot space around him. They didn't want to get closer than that. According to Ivy, heifers are more inquisitive than the average bovine, which may have led to them following the beaver. They're a curious bunch, she said. They're kind of like teenagers. And I think they were following this thing around because they couldn't figure out what the heck it was. Ivy thought the odd event was even more notable considering the beaver is Canada's national symbol.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
I agree.
Yeah,
Ivy.
It is more notable.
That is more notable.
Yeah.
All right, the answer in for question number five. Which of these is a real car? Dodge Toretto. Honda Joy Machine. Kia Sporty Four Wheels.
Oh.
Holden Jupiter. Citroen Lemon. Or Lamborghini Mankini.
Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
They are all very good.
They all sound like Dream.
Yeah.
Dream machines. So I think we are back to you, Dave. So you got Dodge Toretto.
Yeah, that one.
Dodge Toretto.
I reckon that's real.
Lock that in for Dave. What do you think, Seren?
Can I get him one more time?
Dodge Toretto, Honda Joy Machine, Kia Sporty Four Wheels, Holden Jupiter, Citroen Lemon or Lamborghini Mankini? Oh,
Citroen Lemon is very funny.
I am going to go with the Honda Joy Machine.
Honda.
Yeah, so crazy. It could be true.
Yeah. What do you
think? I'm going to go for, what was the Jupiter?
Holden Jupiter.
I'm going to go with Jupiter.
Yeah, I used to drive one of them.
All right. These are right, the answers. Lamborghini Mankini was the house.
Very
as
good.
Was Citroen Lemon.
That's good stuff.
That was Kate. Kate wrote Citroen Pineapple, and I took it to another level.
Yeah.
You did.
Which was down one step, but still, that still counts as another level. Holden Jupiter, which Jess went for, that was Dave.
Good stuff.
Dodge Toretto, which Dave went for, that was Jess.
Oh, wow, we swapped. Okay.
Soren wrote the Kia Sporty Four Wheels.
That's good.
And Soren, you picked the correct one. Honda Joy Machine.
You're kidding me.
What a funny name for a car.
Toretto is Vin Diesel's character in Fast and the Furious.
So, oh, okay, I've never seen that. Right.
Could have been the Honda La Famiglia. Or whatever he calls his family in Italian.
Who does a stand-up about how the first Fast and the Furious is about pirated DVDs? Oh. That's the whole storyline.
That's right, isn't it?
Someone does a stand-up about it. It's very funny about it.
That's right.
That's the whole criminal action is stolen DVDs. It's like, what?
Yeah.
There's an episode of The Sopranos where they hijack a truck and they steal DVD players out the back of it, but it goes wrong and they shoot the guy.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Is like crazy to think about someone losing their life over DVD player.
Yeah, they just had to wait 2 years and you could find them in every op shop.
And just get the TV shows free off the...
Yeah, exactly.
All right, question six, second last question. This comes from Justin McCain from Pittsburgh. And Justin's question is, on the 26th of July, 1184...
Oh, my God.
A while back, the Erfurt disaster occurred in Erfurt, Germany. What happened? What was the Erfurt disaster of 1184? While you're writing those answers, I'll tell the listeners quickly about the Honda Joy Machine. According to Kate, it was first built in 1999, the first generation. It was a version of the Honda HR-V.
Oh, yeah.
It was marketed to young couples who didn't need an expensive car, just one that was cheap to run and could go anywhere. Honda advertised it as the Joy Machine with only three doors and a boot area large enough for a mattress. They leaned into the name until around 2005 when they rebranded as just the Honda HR-V. Oh man, they're really spelling it out, saying, isn't there room for a mattress out the back, young couples? Get in the Joy Machine. The answers are in for question number six. What was the Erfurt disaster of 1184? Happened in Erfurt. I'm probably not saying that right. E-R-F-U-T in Germany. A donkey stampede broke out at a pantomime, killing seven people who were themselves dressed in two-person arse costumes.
Wow. That'd be great.
Seven of them.
Wow. Yeah, it's a big show.
Huh.
Sauerkraut was discovered.
Wow. Notable.
That's not a disaster.
It's a matter of taste.
Yeah, like sauerkraut.
If you're not... Well, there you go. The entire nation's stockpile of gunpowder exploded, creating a mesmerizing fireworks display, but also killing 150 people. The annual sausage festival caused a food poisoning disaster, killing 8,547 people with botulism. A second floor of a meeting hall collapsed into the cesspool underneath, drowning 60 nobles in human sewage.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. Or the wheat harvest was small that year, so all of the bakeries had very low stock, causing townsfolk to riot over pretzels.
A pretzel riot?
Pretzel riot.
Ooh.
Man, I love a pretzel.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Do you?
When I discovered that pretzels weren't just the little dried things. No, and they're
big
like ones. Big
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, big
like,
bready
oh,
ones,
shit.
Yeah.
You like them?
Oh, yeah, big fan of those. It's mainly because I don't eat meat, and at Oktoberfest, it was the only non-meat food.
Yep.
It was either, you could either order half
chips.
A chicken,
yep.
A pork knuckle, or a pretzel.
At least it's very filling.
So after 5 days of drinking 7 liters of beer a day and eating pretzels,
locked up.
It was pretty rough stuff.
Locked
after.
Up, yeah.
Who are we up to? We're up to you again, Soren. donkey stampede, sauerkraut discovery, gunpowder explosion, sausage festival, food poisoning, floor collapsing, people drowning in shit, or pretzel riot.
The number was so specific for the donkey festival thing. No, that was the seven people.
For the sausage festival. Yeah, we had seven and 150.
I just can't figure out the maths on the seven people because they're... they're in pairs as an ass.
Panto.
Yeah,
Panto.
Maybe one of them was riding one of them.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe
one horse was having a break.
Yeah.
And so the ass of the ass had, like, wandered off to get a drink and it was just
the head of the ass.
Yeah, it was the head of the ass. Was getting, I don't know. That's one possibility.
That
could be it.
That sounds plausible. I'm going to lock in that. The
donkey
festival.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, maybe not after your response.
Yeah, that was quite a telling reaction, wasn't it?
No, sorry.
No, I'm gonna lock it in. Yeah, I'll lock it in.
Lock it in? All right.
Sorry. I can't remember the rest. The two.
There was sauerkraut, gunpowder, sausage fest, meeting hall collapse, or pretzel riot.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll go meeting hall collapse.
Meeting hall collapse, okay.
That feels like they'd have that documented.
Hmm. Yeah, I was going to go meeting hall collapse.
Yep.
But Soren's done it, and, you know, it's getting to the pointy end. I'll say sausage festival.
Sausage fest, yeah.
Okay, pretzel riot.
Pretzel riot. All right, locking that in.
I predict a riot.
Here's who wrote the answers. The donkey stampede with the pantomime, that was Justin and the house.
Mm.
Sauerkraut being discovered was a disaster, according to Soren.
More of a kimchi guy.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
The gunpowder explosion... that was Justin, aka the house, as well. Then we had Jess went for the sausage fest. That was Dave.
Yeah. Well done.
Dave went for the pretzel rot, which was Jess.
We're in sync. We're in sync.
And we're falling for each other's jokes.
Yeah. Soren got the correct answer. The sewerage drowning. Couldn't think of a worse way for a noble to go.
Wow.
That does feel like the only one you would have records for 900 years later.
You know what put me off at first? I was like, there's no way they had two-story buildings back then. And I thought, nah, they probably did.
They put their meeting house over a cesspit.
Yeah.
Oh, stink.
Yeah, no good.
Not good.
Ugh, the medieval ages. Oof.
Gross.
Ugh. So that means, again, that round we've got Jess with 1 point, Dave with 1 point, and Sren with 1 point. So going to the final round, it is truly anyone's game, apart from the house, who is failing pretty miserably. On 1 point, then we've got Dave on 4, Saran on 6, out in front is Jess on 7. Oh. So the final question, Dave, these are be your longest answer. It's a movie plot synopsis, so probably write like 3 or 4 sentences.
Yeah, because I've been very short with my answers. So
yeah, this one, it'll stand out a bit if it's not a little bit longer. This one comes from Paige Carroll from Mesa in Arizona, or Mesa maybe. And the question is, what is the synopsis of the 2017 film Pottersville? What is the synopsis of the 2017 film Pottersville? While they're writing those answers, I'll quickly let the listeners know a bit about this disaster. According to Justin, it was known as the Erfurt Latrine Disaster when, on the 26th of July, 1184, King Henry VI of Germany was in Erfurt mediation between two parties on the second floor of a meeting hall when the combined weight of the nobles caused the floor to collapse. It crashed through the first into the cesspool underneath of the building. A total of 60 noblemen drowned or died later due to injuries. King Henry was said to have survived by dangling onto a stone alcove and needed rescuing by ladder. All right. Answer in for the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2017 film Pottersville? A group of potters, traditionally rivals in their small town.
I already know who wrote it.
Band together when a plastic factory is planned to open in Pottersville. They even want to change the name of the town to Plasticville. The movie reaches its crescendo when the potters join forces to build a giant clay wall preventing the plastic factory starting construction.
Wow.
Love that.
What a movie.
That sounds great. Is that, yeah. Because you've been in a few movies like The Nugget.
Yeah.
The Nugget.
Love The Nugget.
Takeaway. 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 Yeah.
No, I wrote Takeaway with Mark O'Toole. Yeah. About the fish and chip shops.
Yeah.
Similar storyline.
Very similar.
Yeah. Funny that.
Here's your second option. In the whimsical town of Pottersville, everyone wakes up in the morning to find that all the residents have magically transformed into anthropomorphic teapots. It's amazing how many times this show has the word anthropomorphic in it. As the townspeople struggle to navigate their new lives with spouts and handles, chaos ensues when the mayor declares a teapot beauty pageant to boost tourism.
I'm a little teapot.
Amidst the steamy competition, a quirky group of friends discovers an ancient tea leaf prophecy that holds the key to reversing the enchantment in the enchantment.
Wow, if it's not enough that they're...
And restoring Pottersville to its normal non-teapot state. I probably love that. Oh, geez, yeah.
What's Sometimes you've got to kill your darlings. There's too many ideas.
Yeah, that's like a
drug, just fever dream.
Then third option, Maynard is beloved. Is a beloved local businessman who is mistaken for the legendary Bigfoot during an inebriated romp through the town in a makeshift gorilla costume. The sighting set off an international Bigfoot media spectacle and a windfall of tourism dollars for a simple American town hit by hard times.
Oh.
Then you got...
Maybe.
In the small town of Pottersville, mild-mannered librarian Alice accidentally mixes up a shipment of books with a box of magical potions. Chaos ensues as the townsfolk unknowingly start experiencing whimsical transformations, turning the local bingo night into a contest of who can hopscotch the longest and the mayor into a tap dancing sensation. As Alice races to reverse the spell, Pottersville embraces its newfound eccentricity, leading to a hilarious battle between the desire for normalcy and the charm of the unexpected.
Wow.
Then you got Stephen Potter, who was bullied as a child for his small frame and thick glasses, finds comfort in reading books about Harry Potter, another bespectacled child with the same last name as Stephen. As an adult, Stephen is an active member of the Harry Potter fandom groups and comes up with a plan to build his own Harry Potter-themed neighborhood for him and his fellow Potter fans to live in. Well, finally, curmudgeon and retired factory worker Harry Potter, who shares his name with a fictional boy wizard, which causes plenty of confusion when a tour bus of eager nerds shows up expecting to see goblins and shit. Can Harry Potter make those nerds disappear? Runtime 86 minutes.
Wow. Let's see all those movies.
Wow. Yeah.
Here are your options one more time. I'll try and do it briefly. So you've got the Potters versus the Plastics.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've got the everyone turns into
teapots.
Thank you. You got the guys mistaken for Bigfoot.
Yep.
You've got the magic mix up with the books.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Easy to do.
Yeah.
Potions and books. Yeah. Very easy to mix up.
Then you've got Stephen Potter who finds comfort in Harry Potter and those books. Or the guy who is Harry Potter, but he's a curmudgeon and wants to make those nerds disappear. Anyone want to jump in?
I got Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
I love it.
Right.
Look, well, all of them you could see, but I think, I don't know, I think Bigfoot.
I was thinking Bigfoot as well. My favourite was the teapots, but that... See,
That could be a thing, though.
The production values would be pretty hard to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's animated.
It could be animated. Mm.
But I feel like Jess wrote that.
I do like the idea of a teapot beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
The swimsuit round.
Yeah. Talent round.
Who'd be first to bust out? Tea. I'm a little teapot. Yeah. Well, if you go Bigfoot, I'll go teapot. I'm quite happy to go teapot. I love that one.
Okay.
I'll go teapot.
All right. So, Soren's are you going the Bigfoot then?
Yeah, let's do Bigfoot.
And
I'll go teapot.
Dave, you're on teapot.
Because it could be. There were some whacked out kids movies in the 90s and stuff, like with weird shit.
Could have been coming on from the, you know, Beauty and the Beast, had that famous teapot, right?
Yes. Yes. Spin-off movies.
Yep.
Spin-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's the teacup ride at Disney.
Yeah,
right?
True.
So teacups, maybe they're trying to...
Teacups exist.
Yeah. Teacups are big.
If the Pirates of the Caribbean was all just based on a ride,
it's just maybe a ride.
This is just the teacups. the movie. What do you think, Bob?
I was going to go Bigfoot too, but... let's keep it interesting for the last round. I'll do something different, but I've forgotten all the others.
There's two Harry Potter ones.
Potter's versus Plastics.
Yeah.
Magic and Books.
Yes.
Magic and Books. Bigfoot. And then, the Stephen Potter
who's
bullied and the curmudgeon.
Whose name is Harry Potter wanting to get rid of the
nerds. 86 minutes.
That's very funny. I'll go Potter's versus Plastics.
All right, locking that in for Jess. Here is who wrote the answers. The curmudgeon. And retired factory worker Harry Potter, that goes for 86 minutes. That was Soren Jaimana.
Very good.
It's very good.
The other Harry Potter one about the bullied Stephen Potter, that was Jess Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The mix-up with the magic, that was Paige, a.k.a. The House. Big fan of Paige's writing there. Mm. Paige also wrote the teapot one.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh, yeah, that was so good. Jess, you went for Potters versus Plastics. That was Dave O'Neill.
Of course it was.
Yeah, I've only got one idea. That's it. That's my idea. So that means Bigfoot was the... Was that the
one? That means Soren was correct.
Oh.
It was Bigfoot.
Bigfoot!
Dave, you had it.
Gave it up.
Dave
gave
paved
it up.
Away.
You gave away. That would have given you the win, Dave.
I don't know. Then Pottersville means nothing.
Yeah,
the titles.
I guess it was just the name of the place.
So that's a real movie.
Real movie. Oh, yeah.
What year? 2017?
I've got to look that up.
I'm looking it up. Oh, I mean, Matt could probably tell us about it.
I love Bigfoot. I love the Yeti stories.
Oh, it's got quite a cast.
So he was inebriated in a makeshift gorilla outfit.
That's a funny.
That's right.
It's a very slim storyline.
Yeah.
Could have weaved in all sorts of other things. Weird. Taking a page out of Page's book.
Yeah.
All right, I'll figure out the scores in a second. But in the meantime, it has a 14% critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but 65% audience.
Oh, there you go.
Audience likes it a lot more. Page writes, This movie has a stacked cast, and it is such a fun and unexpected Christmas romp. There's a fake Bigfoot, small town shenanigans, and a weird side plot of furries for some reason. Definitely a must watch with a bunch of dumb friends during the holidays. There was a less positive review by KT Schaefer on Substream magazine, and they wrote, Pottersville is an undeniably bad movie, regardless of whether its script is... Oh, that's just poorly written. I don't think... If you're going to review a movie about bad writing, you better get your writing right.
Yeah.
Whether the script is self-aware or how good the acting is, it's an outlandish story that finds resolution by cribbing heavily from It's a Wonderful Life. All right, final score check.
And the stack cast was who?
Oh, I had just had it up on IMDb. Michael...
Keaton?
No, Michael...
Mosley.
Shannon.
Oh,
I love Michael Shannon.
Ron Perlman's in it.
Ron Perlman's awesome.
Judy Greer, who always plays awesome. Sassy Best Friend.
Yeah.
That's Christina Hendricks. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a cast.
Mad Men. That's Christina from Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Great.
Yeah. Thomas Lennon, a lot of faces you'd know as well. Wow. Thomas Lennon's in a lot of stuff. Greta Lee, who's she's huge now.
Ron Perlman was on, when I went to see Craig Ferguson show, he was one of the guests on it.
Was he good?
He was pretty good. He told her it's a bad joke, off-color joke that got edited out. The whole audience was like, ugh.
Ron.
What was he there? Was he on the...
I think it was from the
Pottersville promo too.
I think it was that. Yeah, and the motorbike show. Was he on a motorbike show?
Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Oh, he's great in that. Yeah.
All right, final score check. In fourth place on 2 points, it's The House. In equal second place on 7 points apiece, it's Jess and Dave.
Woo! Woo!
Meaning that out in front, is this your first ever win on 9 points? It's Soren Giamana.
There we go. Yay! Thank you very much.
Gifted by Dave, let's be honest.
Stephen Bradbury over the line. Yeah.
Is that your first win?
No, I think I beat David Astle.
Oh, that's right.
I try hardest when there's a famous Dave.
Oh, Dave Astle, you beat him. Yeah. He's like an intellectual. Wow.
Saran only lifts when an intellectual Dave is in the room.
Yeah, wow.
So where can people find you, Saran?
Saran Comedy, Melbourne Comedy Festival, Brisbane Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival. The dates are all online, but Dryer with Matt Stewart. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, this episode is coming out on the 8th of April, the day that your show opens, Dave.
Yeah, come and see that at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I'm also doing Brisbane in late-ish May and Newcastle. I'm taking my special there on the 11th of May because they've got cameras and stuff.
Have you done... So. Is that your first special?
Yeah. Yeah, because specials weren't a thing when I started. You just did TV spots. No one did a special. Mm. The only special you'd heard of was like Eddie Murphy or no Aussies.
And if they did, they were DVD or...
Yeah, VHS. Like Jermaine and Carl Barron would do them, but just the big guys that could afford cameras and then
they'd sell them at shows.
And service stations.
Yeah.
So my generation, we never did them. And then, of course, the next generation all started doing... Hughesy would have done one. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, I'm just going to put mine up on YouTube.
Yeah, great. You know? That's what I do.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess? And I put myself in the same category as you.
What I did. That's what our tier of comedians do, Dave.
Exactly.
Well, we Do Go On has a web series out. By the time this comes out, I think it's out or it's coming.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's either just dropped or it's mid-series or it's around.
And it'll be coming out weekly.
Yeah, that's right. It's a quiz show we recorded last year. We've done the quiz show at the Comedy Festival a couple of years in a row. It's really fun format, mostly because Dave does all of the work. He's the...
Dave Warnocky.
Another famous Dave.
Another intellectual Dave.
We're surrounded by him.
He's the host. We're the team captains. We've got some great guests. Soren's on an episode.
Wow.
Go watch that. It's on Stupid Old Studios channel on YouTube.
That's a great tip. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Hey, why don't you follow us on social media? We're at, I changed it so it's easy to follow. It used to be WKIWMS or something. Now it's Who Knew It Pod.
Love it.
And follow me on there at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Give us a 5-star review if you want. Tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. Any Captain Coco fans you know, send them this way.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us, you three. And cheers for tuning in to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Bye.
That's awesome.
Anyway, and so, and then Johnny Vegas was just like, yeah, he was great. But he was
doing the clay
sculpting. So you couldn't do it now. So he, what would he do? He did clay at TAFE or whatever, you know, pottery, big fat guy. He's an actor now more than a stand-up. And then he would get a girl out of the audience who I thought was a plant, but it wasn't because I saw him every night and they're always different women. And he would do the scene from Ghost on the pottery wheel, oh, my true love, and they play that song. But he would get clay all over them. Like, this woman's outfit would be ruined. Because, like, you could not do that now. It was, like, bizarre. It was, like... That first one, obviously, that's just like a plant. But then the next time was a different. Oh my god!
She had dinner reservations afterwards. Yeah, she's like, I can't go.
Play on you. But he was very. Oh, he's so funny. Anyway,
that's a dream lineup.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They were great.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, obviously,
me in the middle. In the middle, sure.
Everyone's going there for that. Well, I'm there for Dave.
Mighty Boosh.
I'll get there early and see the Mighty Boosh.
Well,
maybe
Mighty Boosh,
I'll stay a bit later.
Weren't on TV. They hadn't done their series yet.
Was that that was the year they won the best
show?
No,
they
award?
Won. Yeah, it was a funny show. Really funny.
Who's the show after Johnny Vegas? There's just a lady stuck to a chair.
Clay. Oh, God. Yeah, so, yeah, my wife's a big fan of Lord of the Rings. She loves Viggo. Who's right. Aragorn, the good-looking guy.
Oh, okay. I'm more of a...
Frodo.
You love Gimli.
Gimli.
I think
his name's Giblets, but it's Gimli.
He's a Welsh...
That's quite a while...
He's a Welsh actor.
Is he?
I interviewed... What happened so that you'd sit in this conference room with like five other journalists in inverted commas, but they're all really different types. There was a shock jock from New Zealand, and then there was like a nerd from the One Ring website. And so you get Gandalf in there, so Ian McKellen, and I would say something like, oh, whatever, general question, and then this nerd would go, in the third scene of the third movie, when you were holding the staff, did you really do that? And he'd go, oh, I don't know. And then the New Zealand shock jock would ask every man the same question, what do you think of New Zealand pussy?
Jesus.
I don't think
he's saying that just
have...
to Ian McKellen, a gay man. The look on his face was just like, what? What do you think of New Zealand pussy? It's like,
it is. It does feel like you could get away with it in a Kiwi accent.
It's,
a little
funny.
Less abrasive.
Yeah, it's an innocent accent.
Because all the hobbits were laughing along with him, and then once Ian came in, and the dwarf guy didn't like it either. Who's right. He's like, yeah, he didn't like that question. Gimli.
Yeah, it would have been like, what are you, what are we doing here?
Also, he's named Gimli, and you're like, I thought it was Giblets.
Mm.
But then Dildo is too far.
Yeah. Well, Dildo stood out to me because it has another meaning with Giblets.
Giblets, yeah.
Hey, you know, Dave, the day this episode comes out is actually the day your festival show kicks off.
Yeah, the 8th or the 9th of April.
8th of April,
great.
Yeah.
Glad you clarified that with me, the 8th. Yeah, come along. Good one.
Where are you on this
year? Beer Deluxe, Sinfed Square.
Oh, great. It's good. Great, it's good range of beers as well.
Yeah. So they've got a big TV downstairs. You can watch the football if you want.
Not too loud. Mighty Boosh, but you can watch the footy before the game. Boosh.
But who's on? The guy on before me sold out. He's a New Zealand comic. So he'll go on to be Mighty Boosh. And who's on after me? I can't remember. Maybe Sam Taunton?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So he's going to be the next Johnny Vegas.
They've got a lot in common. Very similar aesthetic.
Very similar weight.
He's got a... Yeah, I've been talking to him about his show taunts. He's got a clay... clay bit.
Clay
bit?
Yeah. I hate to tell him it's been done, but I don't want to... He's already got the wheel. He's already got the wheel in there. I've seen it. The pottery wheel. It's on the tape. It's on the tape course.
Yeah.
The woman has to sign a permission form now before they get up there, because you can't do what Johnny Vegas did.
Did you write for Jim Owen?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Jim Owen
wrote
show?
For that show. I wrote some of the songs. Not that one, though.
Amazing.
It's good fun.
A detachable toe.
Yeah, That was didn't write one of yours. No? Didn't write that. No, I'm trying to think of what sketches I did write. Oh god, I wrote the giant check one where he won a giant check at a charity thing. Then he went and got a giant banknote from the bank. And then he got a giant ice cream. So it was good because he liked whimsical stuff. Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's the only one I can remember.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was good fun.
I'm looking through my phone to find a picture of a pretzel I got in the US that was bigger than my head.
Oh, that's a big pretzel. Not a fan of the pretzels, Dave?
No, not really.
Look at that, Dave.
Wow. You know what? I've got a... Kitty Flanagan, because again, I do a podcast with her about junk food, junkies. She loves a chocolate covered pretzel.
Oh, I've never had a chocolate
Oh, yeah, they're little. Little. But she's mad for it. So much so that the chocolate box used to use real chocolate, and they started using compound chocolate, and she wrote a letter to them or something. Insane.
I love getting so angry that you write a letter to a company. How dare you?
Good Lord. So, no, I'm not... I don't mind anyway, the chocolate ones are nice, but I have... To be honest, I've never really had one of those. I should try one of those.
Bit of butter on them. So good. They've got salt.
It's just bread, isn't it?
It's just bread.
I love bread.
It's just hot bread.
I love bread.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's often like they might serve it with a little bit of mustard or something. Oh, yeah. It's actually pretty nice.
You ever do catfish? They do them there with mustard and butter and stuff.
I've done it for a long time, but yeah, they also do Philly cheesesteaks.
They do, yeah. Same place, yeah.
Yeah, yum. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we doing?
We're getting hungry is what we're doing.
Getting hungry, man.
Where's Sky?
Yeah, Gippsland.
What's the hotel? What's the pub?
Yeah, what's the pub? No, I don't think there is. I think it's Gippsland Sky, isn't it? Near church. Oh, yeah, near officer. Kind of place. Yeah.
For the listeners who don't know Dave's work, he's got a.
I've been called Mr. Melways on Nova FM.
His skill is knowing every town and suburbs, high school and pub and nightclub.
And also, what school people went to is another one of my knowledge. You went to. Scion. Do you go to Scion?
No.
Oh, that would have been.
That would have been very impressive.
That would have been very impressive.
I did go to a Catholic school. It's a pretty small one in Mount Waverley.
Oh, I hang out with girls from there. Can't remember what it's called.
It's a strange name. Avila.
Yeah, Avila. I hang out with Avila girls. Tiffany and Paula.
Oh, yeah.
Remember them? And Charmian. Oh, they're a bit older than you. Yeah. Matt, you went to somewhere in Moorabbin.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah.
Moorabbin High, what it was called.
No, I went to it was a Catholic one as well. It was called St. James, but it's...
Sir, and I don't know. So you're from Sydney originally, aren't you?
No, I'm from here. But I love that your skill is sort of knowing...
Schools, but I'm not very good at it.
A school that's near where they went.
Not really the school.
Right kind of area.
Zoran did live in Sydney for 10 years.
Yeah, I did live there.
Anyway, what school did you go to here?
Caulfield Grammar.
Ah. Oh,
yeah. You and Nick Cave.
Dave? Yeah, right. And one of the great footballers.
Yeah, a lot of athletes.
Chris Judd, that's right.
Juddy.
Dave O'Neill's got real beef with grammar types, so.
Yeah, be careful.
You posted a clip, an old clip. Recently, it was just tearing in a grammar student. So that's why, I sat you two together.
I get asked to do gigs at the grammar schools, and they never want to pay you. Oh, we've got no money. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's for the rowing shed. Did you row?
No, but if I had to go watch them row.
You don't look like a rower. I would have been
a coxswain.
Yeah, the one yelling a stroke and that. Yeah.
So Sky's just is part of Frankston by the looks of it.
Oh, that's out that way. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
All right, we're back. Oh, hang on. I haven't fucking... Jesus. That was good. That was really fun. Sorry to ask. Man, I talked to you all day about Full Frontal in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, I can talk more about it. That was a great job.
I didn't know you wrote a lot of pointer stuff.
I did all of it. I
loved the banner stuff.
Around the schoolyard.
Pointer.
It was primary school and high school.
Banner, even though he's from Gladstone Park and went to Essendon Grammar, he's still, me and him were kind of similar. We were out of suburbs guys and like cars. And I mean, I wasn't really into the cars, but I had a hotted up car. But so we got on well because he didn't like some of the riders were a bit, you know.
Right.
A bit Melbourne Uni. Even though I went to Melbourne Uni. But whatever. So I got on well with Banner because he was a stand-up too.
Yeah.
Mm. I think a lot of people forget that. I forget that sometimes.
He was a great stand-up.
Yeah. He was on an episode of WTF, the Mark Maron podcast, and he was started talking about the Melbourne scene in the 90s, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. And he takes himself very seriously. I see him about once a year now. He takes himself pretty. He's a serious actor now.
Wait, hang on. The famous story is when he was offered Chopper.
And I said, don't do it.
That's true. Your boss says, don't do it. And that's the movie that broke him in, onto the world stage.
He showed me photos of him dressed up as Chopper. And of course, I didn't know him, but I knew the books. And I'm like, oh, that guy, I've read one of his books. Fuck, why would you do that? No, it's just weird. Anyway.
Were you hurt that he didn't take your advice?
No. Probably good that he did, you know. Probably good that he did.
Yeah. He's the Hulk now, or he was.
He was the Hulk.
I think the shock jocks in Canada say, what do you think about Beaver?
What do you mean by Beaver?
Did you ever appear on Full Frontal Day?
Yeah. They wrote a series of sketches called The Fat Loser, and where I'd wear a striped top. And because there was one large guy in it, Ross Williams, he was an actor, Shakespeare. He didn't want to do fat roles.
He was the,
he was like he would always play the big guy, balding kind of big guy.
Yes.
And so the first sketch, which was with Kitty Flanagan, was in it with me. She was in Full Frontal for maybe a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And she was a receptionist in a gym, and I walk in, I go, I'm here for my assessment. And she goes, you're a fat loser. And that's the sketch. Jeez. And so then the head writer, Doug, he loved me, and he goes, oh, we're going to write a whole series. I had a song and everything. We finished a show one day with the Fat Loser song. He's a fat, fat loser. So we just on sketch shows, they're trying to grab onto anything that's slightly successful.
Yes.
So they film all these sketches, and they go, oh, this one's good, that one's great. And they show it in front of a live audience, and that really sorts the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. And so that first Fat Loser sketch went off because it was quick and funny. And then we just did all these other ones where I was called a fat loser in my same striped top.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're right. They love to really drive it into the ground.
Yeah. So once they saw Poyter was working, for example, they just went, let's do a Poyter sketch every week.
Yeah. Poyter, Fabio.
Was Sean. God. Yes, I worked with Sean. I used to write with Sean. Yeah, absolutely.
You ended up on the radio with him as well.
Yeah, and also I worked on the McAuliffe program, his ABC show. Yeah, I was
that
in that
cooler
too.
For adults?
Yeah, that was much cooler.
Yeah.
When you go to a party and you say, I'm working on the McAuliffe program. Yeah, and I did warm-up on that show too. He wanted me to do warm-up because he'd want a normal warm-up, man. So I used to do a warm-up. But yeah, I appeared in that a few times. He did a sketch where he was a dentist and he said, we haven't got any laughing gas, but we've got comedian Dave O'Neill. I would go in and tell jokes to them. Some of those jokes I still do. Oh, buddy, they're all my fat jokes. So he was good to work with, Sean.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he would just say, David, I need short sketches. Just write short sketches. And so you just write short skits for him.
You worked on everything.
Yeah. Well, especially in that era when there was a lot of sketch shows.
Yeah.
If you can do it and you're easy to work with, that's a lot of people. Doug McLeod, who's now passed away, but he was the head writer, and he used to say him and Andrew. The cool thing about it back in those, Andrew Knight was the big boss, so he's the guy who wrote Sea Change and Rake and that Russell Crowe movie. And he's got a show at the moment. It's on ABC on Sunday nights at Bob Franklin's in Bay of Fires.
Oh, yep.
So he's one of the writers. You would go to sketch meetings, and you'd pitch your ideas to him, and he'd just go, nah.
Right.
So you go, a guy walks into a gym, says he's a fat loser. He goes, yeah, I like that. But then you go, your next one goes, nah. So there was none of this. I remember going to writers' meetings in the 2000s where like the runner would suggest an idea and people would spend half an hour entertaining the thought. And I'm just like, this would not happen in the 90s.
Right.
There was a hierarchy and the boss just went, no. Yes or no. So anyway. Interesting.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it was good. Good days. But, it was sort of competitive too, though. Like, you know. But fun. Yeah, fun. But you know when they did that 30 Rock show and they had the writer's room with the one woman? There was always one woman. There were the intellectual guys that went to Harvard.
Yep.
Then there were the stand-ups. It was very similar to Full Frontal.
Right.
There was always one woman and there was always the uni guys and then the stand-up guys. Yeah. So it was very spot on
very
in their portrayal. Yeah.
They nailed 90s.
Yeah, they did. 90s sketch shows. Yeah. And even though we were in a different country, but it was the same.
Yeah.
Anyway. So many people have gone on from that show.
Yeah.
The director who's like...
Oh, Dana Reed.
Dana Reed.
So Dana Reed was an actress and then she did writing as well. And then I remember her saying to me, oh, I'm going to do directing. I'm going to do an internship on Blue Heelers. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Oh, good on you, Dana. And now she directs Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's directed all sorts of...
She did the birth scene where Peggy from Mad Men gave birth. It's an incredible show.
Wow. Like,
incredible. Yeah, she's done really well. Sean McCullough, of course, Eric Bana. But also in the writer's room, there was Matt Cameron, who now is a big-time drama writer. He just wrote that series on Stan Prosper about...
Oh, yeah.
About the Hillsong kind of.
Yeah, it's got the right guy in it.
Yeah, he wrote that. And Gary McCaffrey, who wrote all the stuff with Sean McCullough.
Yeah, sort of like everyone came out of that.
Yeah, yeah. Mark O'Toole, who went on to write all the black comedy stuff and work on John Safran show, stuff like that. And yeah, there was, it was good.
Amazing.
So good. I forget that you wrote Takeaways.
Yeah.
That's
and you and your stupid mate. Yeah.
You've had two
features.
Bloody hell.
Screened.
And they're notoriously difficult anywhere, but in Australia.
What happened was The Castle came out, which they funded themselves, basically. That was a massive success. So Macquarie Bank funded all these Aussie comedies like Cracker Jack, Tony Martin's Bad Eggs, You Can't Stop the Murders, which is those Sydney guys, Akmal and Gary Eck and those guys. And yeah, then Takeaway, You're Your Stupid Mate. There was a heap of them came out. None of them as successful as... The Castle. Oh, Cracker Jack did really
well. Cracker Jack did well.
Yeah,
did
really well. Wog Boy did really well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The movies I was involved in didn't do that well. But that was good fun, mate.
It was a golden age.
Yeah, Rose Byrne was in Takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her a lift home once. She's a lovely person. Yeah, comes nice in here.
That's a newish addition. Newish addition, Dave. So that's Dakin, top of the line.
Dakin are good, yeah. It's so funny how serious. I've done aircon gigs and they take it so fucking seriously.
Yeah.
Do you like aircon, Dave? Yeah.
Do you like aircon?
Who doesn't like aircon, mate? I love it.
You know.
And I always go, I'm old enough to remember we didn't have aircon as kids. Oh, that's right, mate. We all remember that. And now it's much better, isn't it?
If it wasn't for you here today, Jess, it'd be a real sausage fest.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
Happy to do my part.
What is this, a full frontal writer's room?
Yeah, exactly. The one girl. It's 1993 again.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.